Hi, I'm Nick Martin, site editor for Search Server Virtualization, and welcome to the This Week in Virtualization podcast. We've got a good show for you this week with some news from Citrix and an interview with VMware CTO Kit Colbert. First off, our previous listeners might know that the podcast has been silent for a while, but it's time to start it back up. So to get this thing moving on the right foot, I think it's only fitting that I'm here today with the podcast's original host, executive editor Colin Steele. And also joining me this week is Search Consumerization news writer Jake O'Donnell. Thanks for joining me, guys.
Thanks for having us, Nick. I think we started this podcast in like 2010 or 2011. And like you said, we haven't done it in a while. But hopefully everyone stayed subscribed and is going to be tuned in to this one because I know Jake has a lot of good stuff from Citrix Synergy.
Thanks, Colin. Thanks, Nick, for having me on. It's my first podcast since joining TechTarget back in October. So I'm very excited to be here and glad to join you. And yeah, it was a very interesting week at Citrix last week at Synergy, and excited to chat about it with you.
Yeah, thanks. So yeah, as you mentioned, you just got back from Citrix Synergy in Los Angeles. There seemed to be a lot going on there, and Citrix previewed a new software suite that it called Workspace Services. It made some other announcements around its enterprise mobility product line. First off, what do you think was the big headliner or takeaway from the conference?
I mean, I think definitely the biggest one was the new Citrix Workspace suite, what they're calling it, and it's kind of their opportunity, their play to make sure that, you know, that they have like one place where around end user computing where you can, you know, manage everything, desktops, apps, mobile devices, Zen Mobile, their enterprise mobility management platform. ShareFile is also going to be part of that. Other sort of Citrix tools, just kind of all in one place. One of the things that's kind of interesting about it is that it can, customers can choose their cloud provider, their cloud service. It is built on, and the management console is based on have they changed the name to Windows Azure, or is it still Microsoft Azure? Because they've been getting away from naming things Microsoft, right? I can't remember exactly.
I think they took the Windows off that too, and it's just Azure.
Whatever they're calling it, it's Azure is kind of what they've built the management console on. But you can still choose your own. There was a little bit of confusion about that last week, but you can still use whatever cloud provider you want. And I think that I think it's obvious that I'm sure that this was in the works for a while. There has obviously also been a lot of news recently around their rival VMware, and that they are going to have a new platform that will be available probably at some point later this year. That's going to do a lot of similar things, tying in their big acquisition of AirWatch from earlier this year, and having the same thing, a place where you can manage mobile apps and virtual desktops and everything all in one place. So it's obvious that seems to be the future of end-user computing, is giving customers and giving IT sort of one place where you can manage everything. So I would definitely, there were a lot of other announcements around mobility. Mobile was the buzzword. I mean, it's just obvious that that's kind of, because even this, all this stuff around Citrix Workspace Suite is the idea of, making sure that you're able to be productive and do work on any device, anytime, and having the apps that you need. And so having one place to manage it all seems to be the direction that a lot of this is going in. So I would definitely call that the biggest headline, the biggest takeaway.
Yeah, so you happened to mention what VMware has going on, and I was curious, how does Workspace Services, what Citrix is offering now, compare to what VMware has? And maybe there's a little uncertainty around that still.
Yeah, I mean, I think that VMware is, they're very much still sorting things out, especially with how they're going to integrate some of their recent acquisitions, namely AirWatch also. They bought Desktone for desktop as a service, and I think that there's in both situations, Citrix Workspace Suite and what is going to be eventually the VMware Horizon Workspace Suite. Everything kind of has the word workspace in it, in between Amazon and it does, and VMware does, and Citrix does now too. I think that all of these play, including Citrix and VMware, they're all kind of, it's still a question of how it's all going to fit together. And it, people probably aren't really going to know until you actually see it. VMware, I think that the perception and the feeling is that VMware had to catch up to Citrix in a lot of this. So, because obviously they were late, they bought their, they made their mobility acquisition about a year after Citrix made theirs. Obviously, with Horizon 6 now that is, that was just introduced, they're finally getting into the app remoting, RDSH space, which Citrix has been in, has really dominated for 20 years. So I think that that's the feeling, is that VMware has to catch up. VMware kind of like beat Citrix to the punch with some of the announcements around this, but VMware kind of has had to catch up to Citrix, and VMware themselves would acknowledge that, and they have acknowledged that to me, and I think the customers have said that as well. So,
app promoting in Horizon 6, when I talked to VMware's end user computing CTO Kit Colbert last week when he was in town in Boston, he specifically said, and you'll hear this in the interview later, that they did it because there was no alternative to Citrix, and they felt like they needed to have feature parity with Citrix as they're all pushing forward towards the more app-focused way of delivering and managing endpoints versus the traditional image management way where you're doing a whole desktop or managing a whole virtual desktop, either physical or virtual. So,
and I think for them, I think the AirWatch acquisition is going to play a huge role in that, because they are definitely going to use aspects of what has been their the strengths of AirWatch's mobility management and start to apply some of those things, the sort of the ideas around more simple management of endpoints that AirWatch has used around mobile devices, that I think that VMware wants to try to apply that to managing desktops as well, managing Windows desktops. So that's going to be a difficult task. They did sort of start to release and I spoke to Kit the week before Synergy, but he talked about sort of the mental framework of how it's all going to fit together. So the bottom line is that, it remains to be seen exactly how it's all going to work together for both Citrix and VMware. And it's a lot of it right now is sort of just this is the roadmap, this is what we're going to do. So we won't really know how they're going to compare until they're out there and people are really sort of using them,
Yeah, absolutely. Sort of a hurry up and wait approach. I also saw that Citrix updated its enterprise mobility platform. Can you give us a little rundown of what's new in Zen Mobile 9.0?
Yeah, sure. So I think that it was during the day one keynote that they sort of really honed in on and started talking about more of the mobility stuff. And in Zen Mobile 9.0, I think the biggest takeaway is about the new applications within the Works suite, and sort of updates specifically. There new updates to Works Mail and Works Web, and then they're going to be adding new applications. And the three big ones that they mentioned were Works Notes, Works Edit, and Works Desktop. And so they, like I said, they showed all of these different things. When I talked to people there, they talked about how about a year or so ago, when the Works apps were first introduced after Zen Mobile came out, there was kind of a feeling that the apps were a little clunky. But they've worked on them. There was one particular person I talked to for one of my stories, who said that they've refined things. He in particular has been very pleased with how the Works Mail app has come along, said that it looks similar in feel now to what a native Apple iOS or Google Android mail app would look. So I think that, and that is sort of what I think is considered a key component to the Works suite, is that it's not, or to Zen Mobile in particular, is it's not it's not apps that are, you know, you tell your employee to go out and buy on the App Store and use them. It's apps that IT is pushing out specifically through the EMM platform to the end users. So there's more control there. Now, not everybody wants that, but that is I think is a key distinguishing feature.
And if they're clunky, it doesn't matter, you know, how secure they are or how easy they are to manage. You can deliver it to your users' phones all you want, but they're not going to use it.
Exactly. I think that's something that they recognize and that they've tried to work on. For sure.
The big question I had about Zen Mobile, before we move on to something else, is I know that they just unveiled it at Synergy last year, so that was version 1, mm-hmm. and now they're on version 9. So what happened to versions 2 through 8?
This is one of these things that comes up a lot. Like we talked about it when BlackBerry skipped over with Bez. They skipped over Bez 10 and went right to Bez 12, and they actually did give me a reason for that. They said that it was because they wanted to leap not one but two steps forward or something like that. I'm not exactly sure. I'm sure that...
Because it doesn't even... Like Zen App's not on 9, right? They're on 7, so it's not even like they're doing it to... like get in line with the other Citrix products?
Yeah, you know, I think you'd have to sort of ask why it was that it was Zen Mobile 8, because they did go from Zen Mobile 8 to it was 8 dot. It may have started at 8, actually, okay. Now that I think of it, because some of the updates within the last year were like 8.6 and 8.7. I think it's 8.7 right now, and I think that they've upped it now to be 9.0 later
this year. Maybe the old Zenprise products were on
that could be it. That could actually be it. And I don't know that for sure, but that would actually make a lot more sense.
We really ask the tough questions here on This Week in Virtualization, don't we?
Exactly. But just to touch on some of the other things, they've added more security features, I think, to sort of bring it more in line. They've added the FIPS 140-2 compliance for all of the for all devices, and I think that was definitely an important piece of it. And then there was they've also added support for Windows 8.1 and Windows Phone 8 as those kind of become more prevalent within the marketplace and stuff like that. So it's going to be. My understanding from them is that it's going to be available in June. Zen Mobile 9.0, and there'll be a technology preview for the new Works apps. I guess that those will be more available later in the year. And I think that it's important to mention that Citrix was first. Or one of the first of the sort of major, vendors to have this EMM platform that they bought and started to use. And I think that other companies have gotten more attention in recent months, VMware buying AirWatch and, FiberLink getting bought by IBM and Oracle buying Bitzer Mobile. I think that it was kind of a little bit easy to forget about Citrix. And so I think that they... last week they tried to hone in on what it is that they've been doing over the last year in this sort of really growing, burgeoning space. So just kind of don't forget about us a little bit.
Yeah, sure. And as you mentioned, they've been around for a while in the enterprise mobility space, and they actually have some customers, believe it or not. and you happen to talk to some of them about their complaints, or at least their concerns about Zen Mobile. What sort of things did you hear from people who were actually using the product?
Yeah, I mean, I went to this breakout session that was really interesting, where it was called Geek Speak Live, and they kind of they basically have a bunch of people in a room, and they split them up into groups and ask them, tell us what are some of the things you feel about this, or what are your complaints potentially, and we'll send them back to Citrix for feedback, really. And I thought that one of the ones that was interesting, or some of the things I heard were interesting, were difficulties around implementation. And I think that's in part because of the fact that there are a bunch of different options for implementation. And I think that I wasn't before last week, Citrix had sort of very quietly announced that at the end of last year that Zen Mobile was available in cloud, like for a cloud deployment, as opposed to, you know, on premises through your data center. I think that is possibly something that a lot of IT people don't know about, that they don't know that that's available, and that, you know, because, and that's an area where other companies have them. I talked to people who were AirWatch customers, and, you know, we'll see what happens now that they've gotten bought by VMware. But people were very pleased with AirWatch because of its, you know, the easy implementation enrollment through their software as a service platform. And I think that, you know, because it was easy enough to get a device and enroll it in AirWatch in literally minutes. And so I think that that is one area that I think that the customers feel like Citrix is maybe, you know, lagged behind. And again, there was not a lot of announcement about or not a lot known about Zen Mobile Cloud, even though it has been around. And then I, you know, one thing that was interesting was I mentioned implementation, the ability to kind of separate the MDM and MAM parts of Zen Mobile and you know, Coke, because some people maybe don't want MDM, they maybe just want the application support, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that MDM's was important. Mobile desktop management
or mobile device management. And MAM is mobile application management. Unfortunately, we get into this alphabet soup every now and then, and
it probably will stand for mobile desktop management at some point in the not too distant future.
That's an interesting,
but for now, it's device.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. I think also consistency of the, you know, the Works apps across different devices. Like, there was one guy who said, you know, why can't I get my, you know, Works mail on a PC? Like, why, you know, why is it that I can only get this on my mobile device? So those were kind of the big ones. There was one guy, actually, and there was only, like I said, it was one guy that mentioned this, and it actually ties into some news today. One guy who complained about the lack of BlackBerry 10 support, and today BlackBerry came out and said that they're actually going to be opening up their MDM APIs for BlackBerry 10 devices, and specifically mentioned that Citrix and AirWatch and IBM are the three companies that they're going to be starting with. So I guess they were listening to that one guy.
Or he knew something we didn't.
That's possible, yeah. So I think that, you know, those were some of the challenges. You know, there's a few different editions of Zen Mobile. There's the App Edition, there's the MDM Edition, there's the Enterprise Edition, and so they do give people choices for how they can for which ones that they can use. But I think that kind of touches on, I think implementation was kind of the big one. You know, one of them mentioned, you know, the need to, you have to, you know, poke holes in your firewall in order to make it work, and that is a process that, you know, you have to get permission to be able to do that, and it can take months and months to get permissions to be able to punch holes in your firewall to implement this kind of thing. So a lot of different things that were brought up. It was definitely an interesting session.
Yeah. Citrix also mentioned, I think it was in the keynote, and I got this from reading one of your articles. It seems like CEO Mark Templeton wanted to draw a distinction between ShareFile and Dropbox. And what was the point he was trying to get across? Because at least among you know, end users, Dropbox is pretty popular.
Yeah, I mean, recently I wrote a story about Dropbox, and, you know, they have something in the neighborhood of, you know, in the hundreds of millions of users worldwide. And I think that really the, you know, what Mark Templeton was talking about was trying to draw the distinction between, you know, his specific, you know, quote was, you know, this is not a consumer Dropbox service. This is a real, live, secure, local, serious enterprise infrastructure for sharing information across devices, people, and locations. And I think that, you know, he was just trying to draw the distinction between, you know, and specifically talking about Dropbox as a consumer service, whereas ShareFile is an enterprise service, and it has the enterprise grade security, it has the you know, it has the connections that you need to have to various sort of you know, the content repositories, So there were a few announcements around ShareFile at Synergy, including one thing that I've talked to IT pros about is the need to want to own the key encryption for something like that, and that is going to be available now through something that they call the ShareFile storage zones in Microsoft Azure, and there's also, you know, they've added the capability of being able to access data within Dropbox, Box, Google Drive, like some of the more popular places, through ShareFile. So basically, those different vendors, those different applications that are usually, you know, that are free in a lot of cases, or that get used by a lot of the consumers, you can now access that, or you will be able to access that through ShareFile.
Because it's the same kind of thing as what we were talking about before with the user friendliness on the Works mail apps. It's really hard to force people to move away from the systems that they want to use. If you could do that, we wouldn't need all these corporate versions in the first place, because you would just say, hey, don't use Dropbox, use our VPN. But people don't want to use your VPN because your VPN sucks.
Yeah.
So now, exactly. You know, if you can tie in ShareFile and the security and mobile content management features that are in ShareFile with the systems that your users already take part in their day-to-day work and personal lives, you eliminate that barrier, so you get what you want and the user gets what they want.
Exactly. And also something that I spoke to an analyst about, that is an interesting sort of value proposition for Citrix, because because they have a paid relationship with IT for this kind of thing. But typically, Dropbox and Box and Google Drive, they probably don't. So that stuff lives in sort of the sort of free user-based file sharing storage place. But it also is accessed through ShareFile, which has the license with IT. And that comes at the same time that, obviously, Box, Dropbox, they're very much trying to play up and increase their appearance as having enterprise-grade products. And it's interesting because you've seen recently where both Box and Dropbox have been touting some of their sort of big gets in terms of I think Box added GE as sort of their main one of their biggest enterprise customers now. So I think that by mentioning Dropbox in the keynote, I think that that Mark Templeton was absolutely trying to draw the contrast between what is kind of perceived to be a more consumer grade service with what Citrix has, which is, they want it to be the enterprise product, and it's a very hot market around mobile content management right now.
And the key is that it ties into other things though, because like even Box, which doesn't do just the file sharing, they do have more of an application platform. But even Box, you read in the headlines the troubles they're having with their getting their IPO off the ground and the financial disclosures they had to make when they filed for their IPO, and they're losing money left and right. And I would think that's probably the main reason why they're going after this enterprise audience, is because they realize they can't make money on the consumer audience. But I think the other part of why these companies are not doing as well as you may have thought is because they don't, it's not just about where am I going to put my files and access them from, because as anybody who works in the media and gets press releases all the time, every single company in the world does that now. Here's our version of Dropbox, blah, blah, blah. You need to have the tie-ins to not only the management and the security, but the, what am I going to do with this data once I access it? Am I going to access it on my mobile device? Do I have a way to do that in a secure workspace or through a virtual machine or something like that? So the companies that can integrate that all, I think, are going to take off, whereas the companies who just do the file sharing are going to be left behind unless they can really find some other way to do what other guys aren't doing.
Yeah, I agree. It's a big area because of how competitive it is and how, like you said, there's so many companies that send you the send random press releases saying, talk to me about my product that is like Dropbox but for the enterprise, you know. So Citrix is in an interesting position because they have more of a reach than a lot of these other companies do. So if they can get it right, it'll be a huge advantage for them.
Yeah, now, being someone who mostly covers server virtualization, I don't think I'd feel whole if I didn't at least touch on this issue. Was there any attention at all paid to Zen Server at Synergy? It seems like Citrix is really content just to see it sort of live in the shadows.
There certainly wasn't a lot out front about Zen Server, and so I attended Citrix Synergy along with our senior news director, Bridget Patello, and she heard from a lot of people about that and the question of, you know, what is going on with Zen Server and what's happening with it. So I'm looking here because this is not an area that I cover a lot, so I'm going to sort of defer to her expertise. She did ask somebody, a Citrix spokesperson, about it. It is still included in all of Citrix's product options. They're working on making improvements around storage, and they recognize also that that other companies, other customers use, you know, VMware and Hyper-V. And they want to try to make sure that the components of it and the products that they have work well with those other, you know, those other products with VMware and Hyper-V. And this person, the spokesperson who talked to Bridget, was apparently non-committal about the future of Zen Server. Didn't really say one way or another, like if it's going to go away or not. They are going to be launching a tech preview for Zen Server in the next couple months. That is going to include a move to a 64-bit Zen Server. And going back to kind of what Bridget wrote here, moving to that platform will allow an increase on NVIDIA GPU support. And that's it sounds like it's a pretty important step for them. So the bottom line is that Zen Server does still exist. It's not dead. Reports of its demise have been greatly exaggerated, but there's uncertainty about its future.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens with it. I've heard conflicting reports. Some people say it's not going anywhere, and other people say, you know, a move towards cloud could possibly make it a little more relevant, but we'll see what happens.
I think that the spokesperson kind of say, like, not being able to say whether or not it will go away is probably not the best sign. I would say.
And but what you were saying about Citrix devoting more of its energy to making sure that their other products work well on top of VMware, I think that's key because one of the things that, you know, I talked with Kit Colbert about was that I don't know how true this is because it's one vendor talking about a competitor, but you know, he said that they've, you know, basically had customers knocking down their doors to, you know, they're running Citrix on top of VMware and they want to run VMware, but in the area of like remote published apps, they didn't really have a choice because Citrix was the only one who did it. And he said that that's kind of the case for other products too, that if Citrix products don't work well on VMware, VMware has competitors to those products too. And Citrix has already lost the hypervisor war, which really wasn't much of a war. It was more of like a just kind of, we're here and we're not going to put up a fight.
It was a skirmish.
Thing. Yeah. but either whatever it was, Citrix lost it. So they need to make sure that they don't lose the next level up battle there too, which is a much more level playing field. And I carried out that analogy pretty good.
Well done. I do think, you know, another thing that I will mention is that Bridget and I, you know, we were talking in a meeting yesterday about this, and I kind of agree that there was a lot of focus at Synergy on cloud, like a lot. And I think that turned off some people that were there.
Did the mobility talk turn off people? Because I know I was interested in that when I went to Synergy last year because, you know, they have this really devoted core audience on the application virtualization and application delivery side of things, and last year it was all about mobility, and I didn't really pick up on too much dissent about that, but I didn't know if, you know, 2 years in a row and people were starting to wonder if it was a problem.
I don't know if dissent is the right thing. I think people just, like, accept it over the last year, especially, you know, I think that it's how it's grown. Obviously, you know, it seems like it's grown so much in a short period of time, and I think people just kind of accept it. I would say that, you know, one of the things is that I don't know. I can't remember exactly what the deal is and if Citrix is still offering it, because I'm not sure. But there were in the last couple of months, there were certain packages of licenses around Zen App and Zen Desktop that included the MDM version of Zen Mobile for free. So I think that that has given some of the IT people a chance to really kind of test it out for nothing, because, like I said, they're literally giving it away to certain customers. And again, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a mixed bag. Some people are really happy with it, but it's, like I said, it's the integration with Zen Prize and adding it, it's still relatively new. So I wouldn't say, like, you know, because obviously my focus and the people I talked to were the ones that were kind of, like, interested in mobility, because those, you know, they were the ones that were sort of near the sessions that I was going to. So I think that, you know, you go to a conference, you're going to get, like, a million different opinions. But I think it's probably safe to say that people kind of just accept it for what it is now, and that it's, like, so pervasive. It's just part of everything. And if you're, you know, yeah, you can, you know, focus on app virtualization or you know, the stuff around Zen App and Zen Desktop, but mobile is kind of, you know, is linked to that now, more than ever. So,
and the way the market is, you can't go to pretty much any tech conference and expect to learn just about or hear just about one technology, unless it's some small startup. All these companies are buying all these other companies that do different things.
Exactly.
Same thing with VMware. You know, you can't go and expect it to just be a server virtualization conference anymore. And I remember, you know, going back 4 or 5 years ago, people started being like, oh my God, they're turning it into a cloud conference. And I feel like this year they're going to be like, oh my God, they're turning it into a mobile conference.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the way it has to be, because otherwise, if they just stuck as a server virtualization vendor, there wouldn't be a conference to go to in a couple of years.
Good point. And yeah, bringing up VMware, you happened to catch up with VMware CTO of End User Computing, Kit Colbert. Was it 2 weeks ago now?
I think it was 2 weeks ago from today. Or was it 1 week ago from today? 1 week ago from today.
Okay.
Yeah. Or whenever this airs. I don't know. It'll probably be 2 weeks by the time you listen to this. but it's still relevant. Trust me. Don't turn off. So I talked to Kit. He was at an event here in Boston. We got to sit down afterwards. And I ended up writing two fairly newsy recaps of our discussion, one on search virtual desktop and one on search consumerization. And then we kind of had a more in-depth strategic conversation as well. So I'll recap the news parts by myself, and then we can listen to some of the other stuff that didn't make it fully into the written recaps. So little bonus behind the scenes stuff. I guess the big thing was 2 years ago at VMworld, they demoed a feature which had some project name. I think it was called Project AppShift at the time, and it has since evolved to be called VMware Unity Touch. And it's technology that's designed to make it more user-friendly to run legacy Windows applications on mobile devices. So doing things like double-clicking on text, or you know, right-clicking and choosing from a drop-down menu, or navigating through the start menu and the folders. These are all very difficult things to do on a tablet, because they are designed for a keyboard and mouse and not for your hand. So it was really cool demo. Everybody thought it was really exciting technology at VMworld 2012, and then they released it, and it was basically just a file manager. So it kind of virtualized the file manager and made it kind of like a touch-friendly thing where you could navigate through the folders and navigate through the start menu with just pressing one finger instead of double-clicking on folders and everything. And that's helpful, but that's not the part that everybody was wowed about. And the part that everybody is wowed about has still not seen the light of day. So I asked Kit about that, just kind of what I thought was going to be a throwaway question. hey, so what's up with Unity Touch? And he said that it wasn't a priority at the time, but it's something where they're going to have renewed interest in. And he specifically mentioned, I want to read this quote directly because I don't want to put words in his mouth, but this might be a space where we say, you know what, maybe there's a partnership. And I'll just throw out a name, not to say that we've had any discussions with them at all, but someone like Capriza. These are guys who can actually help transition these legacy Windows applications to have a nice interface on mobile devices. So, I mean, in my experience, companies don't throw out other companies' names unless they actually have had discussions with them.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Despite the caveats that he said. And they're a company that kind of does, you know, what he said, that you know, they let you develop mobile interfaces for desktop web apps. So it sounds like they might be going that route where they partner or acquire a company that already does this kind of thing, and then they integrate it into Vue. It's part of the Vue client for iPad and Android. So I think it'll be interesting. Obviously, that's not the ideal way to deliver applications to mobile devices, because no matter how much you make it better, it's still not designed specifically for that interface. But there are some applications where they're just so entrenched in a company and they're so mission critical to what a company does, and they're so complicated that it would be impossible to develop specific mobile versions for them, that this is really the only way to use them. Like here at TechTarget, the thing I think of is like our CMA. Like, you can never get our development team to build a whole new mobile friendly content management system. You could argue that our content management system isn't even desktop friendly.
let's not go there, Colin.
Right. Yeah. Applications like that exist in every company, and you don't want to hold people back by not allowing them mobile access at all, but you can't also do the work to make it completely native to mobile. So this is a good stopgap measure for those while you mobilize natively as much as you can. So I thought that was promising from VMware. We also talked about the future of ThinApp, given that, and VDI as a whole, given this new focus on applications, specifically focusing on what VMware is doing with their Mirage product, which is started off as a physical desktop management solution where you break up the different parts of a desktop with the user profile, the underlying OS, the apps, and they all run separately. So you can kind of install them and modify them as you want and not have to manage a whole image as you would with a virtual desktop. So we talked about that and what role that might have moving into the mobile era and vice versa, because like we talked about, you said that MDM is mobile desktop management, and I think that's kind of the vision that VMware is going for, where you don't manage desktops differently than you manage mobile devices. Mm-hmm. You manage them in the same way with this application first approach and not so much worrying about the underlying architecture, which Windows makes it difficult to do because of registry files and everything, but some of the things that VMware is doing lets you get around that. So that's what you'll hear Kit and I talk about, plus some other random things going on with VMware, and hope you enjoy the conversation. Why did VMware finally decide to get into the remote published apps market at this time?
Well, this is something we wanted to do for a considerable amount of time, and this is, you know, no small feat. It's a very, very technically challenging thing. And I'm actually really happy when we announced it that the media, the bloggers, picked up on the technically challenging aspects. Because this is something that you look across the EUC space, and many, many, many people have tried to do this. You know, though, I don't know that the exact history, if it's true or not, but the story goes that basically Citrix somehow got a copy of, you know, Windows code back in the day, and essentially modified the kernel to do what they wanted to do, to have this sort of console session as well as this remote session. And then they gave the code back to Microsoft. And, of course, Microsoft went and implemented their own RDP as well. But since then, no one's been able to replicate that, right? It's been one of those things that's just very, very technical and challenging. A lot of different pieces needed to come together. And so we were happy to be able to work with Microsoft. This is a cooperation example, to work together to be able to produce this, to do something that no one else has done. And I think, you know, the thing that's been really surprising on that front is when we start talking to customers, because we knew this was important, we knew we had to do it just to round out our offering, but what we didn't realize was how badly so many customers want to move off of Citrix. And the reality was that Citrix was the only viable player in this market. And so now, you know, we felt we had to come into the market to provide an alternative, you know, to provide the competition, you know, the good sort of free market, you know, sort of mechanics, right, where customers now have a choice. And so that was the thing that surprised us the most when we did our focus groups and sort of asking customers, you know, what'd you use it? What do you think of it? And, you know, hands down, they're like, the second you guys have this, we will move off of Citrix. You know, we don't like it. It's too complex. It's hard to manage, blah, blah, blah.
Is that just because, like you said, they're probably already running vSphere underneath, or are there other things that VMware can offer their customers in this area that Citrix hasn't been able to?
Yeah, I think part of it is certainly vSphere running underneath, and this ability that, you know, if you control or have bits of all the stack, then what that means is that you can make, you know, even better optimizations along that stack, right? And Citrix has done the same with, you know, with Zen Server and so forth. They made their own optimizations there. But the reality is that most people run vSphere, so you can get better optimizations running on top of Vue. Citrix has been, you know, maniacally obsessed with end-user experience, right? And they do have a good end-user experience. And I think we've also been, you know, equally obsessed with the remote desktop experience, making it so seamless. And we've come a long way in that. I think where Citrix is very weak is around the management experience and management simplicity. And this is something they're always dinged on. And in fact, for us, you know, in the surveys, look at the data, customers love our management interface. They love using Vue because it's just, you know, as an administrator, it's so easy to use. And I think that's a big part of it, because that goes straight to things like total cost of ownership and ROI. It's like, how much time do you spend keeping that system up and running? How much downtime is there? These sorts of issues. So I think that's really important for customers, and having that simplicity and knowing that when they go to, you know, this published app solution, it'll be the same product. It's not, you know, a forklift or something else. It's you upgrade Vue, and all the same things you love about Vue, the simplicity of management, you just get it, and you get AppPub at the same time, all in one place, right? So I think that's what they really like about it.
There's been some integration between Vue and VCOps, which is another product that you've worked on at VMware. How does VMware plan to further integrate its end-user computing offerings with its traditional infrastructure and management products?
That's a great question. Thank you for asking it. And I think, actually, to your point on the previous question, I think management is another big area. You know, enterprise management. Not just the direct sort of Vue or, you know, VDI management, but the general gist of enterprise management. It's another big area of strength of VMware's over Citrix. Like, Citrix is not necessarily a management company, but VMware is more and more becoming a management company, right? We have these enterprise management products. I worked on the VCOps team. I was the, you know, tech lead of that for about 4 years, starting at its inception. And so I was there as the enterprise management business unit sort of grew and blossomed, and now it's, you know, it's a great, very healthy business, right? Over 10%, I think, of overall VMware revenues. And so, yeah, so the first thing, you know, customers were asking us was, you know, we need a way to get insight into what's going on in Vue. You know, I don't want a user calling me and telling me there's a performance problem. I want to see it first, right? I want to see it before the phone call happens. So that was the genesis of VCOps for Vue. And so it's been a great, you know, relationship between the management BU team and the Vue team. We've done a lot of good things there. I think there's a lot more we can actually do. I think that, you know, the job's not done, so we're constantly innovating there. But the two other fronts of very important interest to us are, first, vCloud Automation Center, and secondly, IT Business Management. So vCloud Automation Center, are you familiar with that? I'm assuming.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so what it does is, it's focused on a lot of provisioning and lifecycle automation. So it combines three different things. It combines an automation and workflow framework at its base. It has a governance framework to sort of be able to audit and control the different sorts of things that happen at the automation level. Then it has a self-service interface to allow end users or admins or any, you know, line of business people, whoever it is, to come in and do things on their own, right? So, you know, one thing that we announced as part of the Horizon 6 launch was this ability to now have Vue integration with vCloud Automation Center. And so what you can do is then, instead of having a user file a ticket to go get a Vue VM, Vue desktop, a user can now go to VCAC and just click a button. And that desktop can be automatically provisioned, or it can have to go through a manual approval, say, if it's, you know, the user's manager needs to just click OK, whatever it is, right? But these are IT policies that they can set up. And so that's a real cool thing about VCAC, is the fact that it's so policy-driven that rather than having a human be in the loop as something's happening, what IT can do is set up their policies ahead of time, so the system just enacts the policies as they're set. It means that someone from IT doesn't need to be in the loop, and that just means it's much lighter weight, less OPEX, these sorts of things.
When you were talking downstairs, you mentioned how mobility management is much more user-centric mm-hmm. than traditional desktop management. So,
yep.
Given what you just said, are there connections that you can make there between the automation and VCAC and mobility management as well?
Oh yeah, for sure. I think when you talk about provisioning for a user versus provisioning for a device, so what does that mean? Well, what it means is that you're basically mapping things to users. So a user has this application, a user has this policy, a user has this data. It's not a device. A user will take a device, and that device will inherit these things because it's the user's device. But if that device were reused by some other user, it'd get different sorts of things, perhaps, right? And I think the idea of personalization is really key here. And so that's the great thing about something like VCAC, is the fact that with the self-service interface, it allows the user to personalize themselves, right? They don't have to call IT and ask for something special. Personalization is built into the system. In this self-service model, right? I mean, think about it like Amazon, Amazon Web Services. Like, you just go up, you click whatever you need, you go and do it. You don't talk to anyone, you just go and do it, right? And so everyone's setup in AWS can be slightly different. The size of the VMs they use, the things they run on them. And it's very similar fashion here, with each device I'll use will be slightly different. The specific apps that I'll actually use versus what IT has enabled me to use or entitled me to use will be slightly different. And so if I can leverage VCAC just to go and do that, say, out of these 50 or 100 applications that IT has entitled me to use, I actually want only these 4 or 5, I can just go through VCAC and provision just the ones I need. And that way, the user gets just what they want, and IT only pays for the licenses that the user's actually, of the apps the user's using. Unlike today's model, where if you, you have this one image for everybody, everyone has to have a license of that, even if they're not using it, right? So this idea of personalization is really important. That's where I think all these things come together.
That's all we have for this episode of This Week in Virtualization. I want to thank Jake O'Donnell and Colin Steele for joining me. And we hope to hear from you in our comments. And tune in next week for another episode.